Praise be Jesus Christ. May his name be praised forever. Indeed. All right, today you will have to suffer another one of these funny jokes that sometimes only I find funny. Winston Churchill, you know, they just made a movie about his life, and especially his role during World War II, which was crucial. But he was also known to be a somewhat difficult person to deal with. So his secretary, one day, being exasperated with that difficult personality of Winston Churchill, said to him, "Sir, if you will be my husband, I would poison you." Winston Churchill replied to her after a short while and said, "And if you were my wife, I would take it." See? You're not as on the same wavelength. Okay, that's all right. Maybe this one here. A girl came home from school full of knowledge. Her mom was in the kitchen, but the girl decided to show her how much she had learned. "Say, Mom," she began, "did you ever realize that in some parts of India, a woman doesn't know her husband until she marries him?" Without looking up, Mom answered, "Well, my dear, it happens to the best of us." Okay, all right, I'm giving up, I surrender. It's like, wow. See, that's why I warned you. My sense of humor is not necessarily yours. Okay, here is not something to be making jokes about, but it is a continuation of our looking at the letter, this wonderful encyclical that Blessed Paul VI directed at the whole church, Humanae Vitae. And today I'd like to address myself a little bit more directly to what he has written in section 25 and 26. And I must say I was surprised when I prepared for the season to find this in Humanae Vitae, because Humanae Vitae is always, of course, known for the very issue of life and artificial contraception and so forth. But the Pope made a tremendous effort to address himself to different groups of people that had to deal with those issues. And so he has a section addressed to scientists, but then he has a section 25 addressed to Christian couples. And let me just read briefly what that is that he talks to married couples. "When the church does indeed hand on to her children the inviolable conditions laid down by God's law, she is also the herald of salvation. And through the sacraments, she flings wide open the channels of grace through which man is made a new creature. In humble obedience, then, to her voice, the voice of the church, let Christian husbands and wives be mindful of their vocation to the Christian life, a vocation which, deriving from their baptism, has been confirmed anew and made more explicit by the sacrament of matrimony." I tried to already make that connection on Sunday, you know, this tremendous realization that you married couples should have, that there is a special sacrament into which you have entered and which gives grace to that very vocation you have given yourself. The Pope continues, "For by this sacrament, the sacrament of matrimony, they are strengthened and one might almost say consecrated to the faithful fulfillment of their duties. For the Lord has entrusted to them the task of making visible to men and women the holiness and joy of the law, which united inseparably their love for one another and the cooperation they give to God's love." But let me read that one sentence again. It's so powerful. "For by this sacrament, the sacrament of matrimony, they, the Christian spouses, are strengthened and one might almost say consecrated to the faithful fulfillment of their duties." You're being set apart. You're being lifted up to glorify God in this your holy vocation, holy matrimony. This is 1968. And so it is tremendous to see the Pope having this regard, not only for the consecrated life and those who forego marriage for a greater good, but no, to really address himself to what he saw coming as maybe the most difficult time for married couples ever. Because no other generation had these means at their disposal. No other generation has had this access and had this power to decide what their family will look like. And then to choose God's way, even though you have other means at your disposal, what a tremendous act of virtue. And you know, this is 1968 again. And as I was reading through it, then I came upon this chapter 26. Before the Pope, of course, makes ample mention of what husbands and wives need to have recourse to, namely, especially two sacraments, sacrament of the Eucharist and sacrament of penance. And by the way, let me just say what we have heard in the Gospel, our Lord encouraging us, admonishing us that there is forgiveness to be extended if we want to have forgiveness extended to us. Very, very important. So will my Heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgives his brother or sister from his or her heart. That's a tall order, and without God's grace, we can't do that. And that's why the Pope, knowing that in family life, that forgiveness is so crucial and has to be extended so many times. Peter said 7 times? No, Peter, always. 77 times, or 70 times 7, or 7 times 70. It's all a play on words, meaning always. You know, St. Luke, in one passage of his Gospel, says, the measure with which we measure will be measured out to us. In other words, the mercy we hope to receive is measured by the mercy we extend. And that is indeed such a crucial, central reality in our Christian lives. So therefore, the Pope is very aware that in family life, that needs to be practiced almost every day. And last night we had again such a moving, moving encounter with the young people, them making themselves open and really so sincere, so sincerely approaching the sacrament of reconciliation, and really loving God in the Eucharist, drawing from him the strength and inspiration. You know, every time I have a moment of doubt whether we're doing anything good, that's what I go back to. And there's another story that comes to my mind. You know, after each family fest, we have a session in one way or another where we share stories, what people have witnessed on the staff. And, of course, many of the stories are about people who had a tremendous encounter with Christ. And so last time we had one of our volunteers share that there was a young man who was always separate, who always was somehow not with the crowd, was not feeling comfortable to be with where everybody else was at in the youth program. And so she found the grace and strength to approach that young man and to invite him to this and that. And the next day, I think if I recall the story correctly, the next day the young man walks up to her and says, "Thank you for reaching out to me, because that evening I was going to kill myself." Wow. You know, if we haven't done anything else this whole summer season but to help that person find hope again and to be encouraged and to realize more how precious he is in the eyes of God and the great plans God has for him and the gifts he has instilled in him, if we haven't done anything else but make that happen for all of us, 100 people here on staff, ministering, if that's all we have done, I will be perfectly content to help a young person not fall into the trap of the evil one, which is always trying to isolate. You know, we give names to things. Everyone talks about social media. Oh, the media that makes us so socially connected. It is another tool that brings us together. It's a misnomer. Most of the social media does only one thing, isolate us. I have seen even married couples walking, holding hands, and each one had in the other hand their cell phone on which they were talking to someone. And I don't think they were talking to each other. We don't realize it. I'm not implying that they were not aware of each other's company. Maybe it was just a coincidence both got a call at the same time, whatever. But you know how much this stuff plays into our way of life and how we interrelate with one another. So anyhow, when I was witnessing that story, when I heard it being narrated and shared with us, I felt, I don't even know how to explain that. You know, who are we to be an instrument to help a person have hope again? Who are we to help you guys in any way, which I really believe that our biggest help to you is only bring you guys together. You do a lot of ministering to each other. Yes, there is sacramental grace available in abundance here, and that is a miracle in itself. Believe me, at times I don't know at the beginning of a season how many priests will actually show up. How many priests will be there? You know, Father Bernard, you have seen him always be so faithful at the confessional during the week, and he's saying the morning mass, but he had a stomach problem yesterday, so he couldn't be there for the evening confessions. We had another priest, the Nigerians, was not able to come. So we have less people than we thought we had, and yet it all worked out. And I want to thank my brother priests here present from the Canons Regular of the Holy Cross. And you know, as I get older, I have to say things when I think about them, when they come into my mind. So actually, Father Gregory, who has been here now a whole year, will be sent to Colombia at the end of this family fest. So I want to thank him in a very special way for all he has done. Thank you so much for your friendship and for your tremendous faithfulness and for your good cheer that you have. As a Bavarian, I can relate to that so much. I know a lot of Bavarians that I get along with very well. It has nothing to do that we both like beer a lot. No, it has nothing to do with that. But thank you so much, and we wish you all the best, and we assure you of our prayers. It's interesting, you know, he just basically now is proficient in English. There you go. But he was already working in Spanish-speaking countries, so it's not going to be that hard for him to pick up there. But it is really us working all together, and this tremendous reality of having compassion beyond what strict justice would order us, but to enter into this infinite mercy of God, is so tremendous. And we must, as our Lord in the Gospel made it so clear, we must be super generous with mercy and compassion to other people, towards other people. And sometimes these people are in our very own family. You know, sometimes when our Lord says, love your enemies, we're always looking on the outside, where are my enemies? Let's see, where are they, in China or in North Korea or wherever? No, they may be sitting right at your dinner table. Not in the sense that there are enemy in wanting to hurt you, but they may hurt you anyhow because we're all weak. And if the only way you can love them and forgive them is look upon them as that term of enemy, well, then maybe you have to do that. Love your enemies. Our Lord didn't give any kind of exemptions from that. Love your enemies, not emotionally, but to wish them well, that they will also make it to heaven. Those are the things we are challenged with. That is what we need to do. Okay, the family apostolate section, section 26 of Humanae Vitae, and written in 1968. Well, listen to this. Among the fruits that ripen if the law of God be resolutely obeyed, Pope Paul VI said, the most precious is certainly this. The most precious is certainly this, that married couples themselves will often desire to communicate their own experience to others. Thus, it comes about that in the fullness of the lay vocation will be included a novel and outstanding form of the apostolate by which, like ministering to like, married couples themselves, by the leadership they offer, will become apostles to other married couples. And I think that's a perfect description of what happens here. I think that's a perfect description of what we're trying to facilitate. You coming together, and you do a lot of ministering to each other. You know what our joke is? We do have inside jokes, you know. Yes, I know, they're along my line of humor, so there's no guarantee. But no, it's actually not a joke, it's much more an encouragement to me. Sometimes there's a family that comes here, they have two kids, they get out of the van or the car, and they're, you know, already very stressed from the travel. And then they say, yeah, I got these two kids here driving me nuts, you know, the one does this, the other one does that, and so forth. Then you meet them again on Wednesday, midweek. Oh, Father, you know, we only have two children. How do you think that happened? Because they see many of you who are so tremendously, superhumanly able to handle more than two children. Maybe even four, or six, or eight, or 12 like our founders. Don't underestimate the heroicness of your lives that you live in these very difficult times. Here's the final sentence in that chapter on the family apostolate. The Pope says, and surely, among all the forms of the Christian apostolate, it is hard to think of one more opportune for the present time. 1968. 1975, the Apostolate for Family Consecration was started. Coincidence? I think not.